Amen. Well, it's been exciting. Sitting here this morning, the thought that really hit me was how much God loves us. How much He loves each and every one of us. As I've been getting, I'll say more mature, hopefully, a little grayer around the edges, more parts being replaced and renewed, the cry of my heart has been, God, what's next? Finally, after many years of in and out of engineering, farming, many other things, the cry of my heart has been, okay, God, come June 24th, which I've said is my official date of leaving the profession of engineering, the practice, doesn't mean I stop, but I won't be practicing anymore. And it's, okay, Lord, what's next? And one of the things that's come up in our hearts is that Carolyn and I would come to a place of sharing our lives, the strength that God has given us to face each day with all of you and many others. I don't know to what extent it's going to go, but the one word that's come down to me both spiritually and professionally has been mentoring. So out of that, in reading and getting into this tech age of using something that's much lighter than my study Bible, which weighs about 10 pounds, my strength doesn't hold up anymore. I was reading in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to touch base out of three books today, just kind of bounce in and hit on a couple points. Mark 11, Luke 13, and John 15. Not necessarily in any specific order, but it's as the Lord directs this path. I just want to stay open to how He directs today. I want to give you an encouragement. I'm delighted when I see so many young faces here and little ones, because that's where the future of this church is. We're here to be used, to speak into, to undergird, to encourage, but it takes that younger lifeblood to keep things humming. And a good beehive is a noisy beehive, and I loved what I heard this morning. Okay. So Jesus had just come in, triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And He went to the temple and He looked around at everything, and it was already late, and He went out to Bethany with His 12 disciples. And on the following day, starting in verse 12 of chapter 11, when they came from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, He went to see if He could find anything on it. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And that scripture has always bothered me. Okay, why did He go to it if it wasn't the season? And He said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And His disciples heard it. I was thinking, Lord, why? What were you expecting? Well, the one thing that's nice about this little Kindle is I can add, look at the notes that the people have put together and out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. And they said, Jesus' judgment on religious leaders. His first action after being hailed by the people as king, they are to pass judgment on Jerusalem, figuratively through the cursing of a fig tree And the cleansing of the temple, which highlights Jesus' zeal for true worship of God, teaching is bold and authoritative. And confronting the religious leaders, he brings this out. And so he comes in, he curses the tree, but it was not the season. What I didn't realize, and what they pointed out in the notes, was I think fig trees, it must be similar to our cherry trees. We see these beautiful blossoms, and then comes the setting of the fruit. And that fruit is actually set before the leaf, almost before the leaf appears, or very close to it. So when you see the green leaf come out on the fig trees, like our cherry trees, then we would expect to see those that little formation of fruit. It might be green, but it should still be there. And what hit me is like, wow, okay, here we are. We continue on this journey. We get all enthused. We come in and we have all the display of being Christians. But where's the fruit? Now, fruit comes in many, many ways. And we heard part of Caleb's fruit this morning. We see that. We see it in Mike and Nancy get up and musically. Tim and Mike and Steve, they get up and share the word. We see that fruit. And we see it in their lives. We see it in each one of you. And it's that fruit that it's in your life that Christ is looking for. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm delighted to see such multiplication going on. But there are many other aspects of that fruit. Can we be a source of encouragement? And it's not like we go out looking for it. But when we get faced with it, is it there? Well, there are some conditions that kind of come up. And we'll step back here a little bit, see if I can get back to the scripture. Well, it goes on. I want to jump over to Luke in chapter 12. Let's see how this is going to work. If I can do my go-to. It's actually Luke 13. I just went to 12. We'll go to 13. We'll find it. Just past the heading, it said you must be ready. Oh, dear. But I'll paraphrase. I know the scripture. It's 13:6. Speaking of the farmer who had planted a fig tree in his garden. And he's speaking to his groundskeeper. He said, what's with this tree taking up space in my garden? And Lord, are you saying this of me? Are you saying of us? Are we just taking up space in your garden? It's been 3 years. But the groundskeeper said, hold, give me one more year. Let me dig about it. Let me soften up the soil so it'll absorb the moisture. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. And we see out of Luke, one who would intercede in our behalf. It's his type of Luke, the great physician. He wants us to take a little more grace. He gives us that grace to let that fruit come forth. Maybe it's been sitting dormant. Maybe it's been waiting for a release. Maybe it's been waiting for that season. But he said, let me dig about a little bit. Stir up the ground. Water it, dung it. Let's see what happens. And you and I can be like that. We can be kind of sitting. We've been on the bench. waiting. It takes two things. It takes a release. It takes some water. It takes some nutrients. And then it's up to us to let it come forth. And so it's not just a cutoff because we're out of season. So God is patient with us, and I sure appreciate the fact that he has been and continues to be. But I sense within that, brethren, there comes a time when, if we're just soaking up the moisture, we're showing all the pretty blossoms and lots of green leaves, but no fruit. And it brings me to my first story. When Carol and I first got married, we were out in Portland, Oregon, and our landlord, Dave McKenzie, real laid-back guy, and we had this apple tree in our yard. And Dave came over one day and he said, "Joel, I can't climb that tree. I'm not stable on the stepladder anymore. But take these clippers and this saw, and I want you to climb up in my apple tree here in your yard." And boy, he had me cut. And every time I cut a branch, I hurt. I felt like I was being cut. "Dave, you're going to kill this tree." "Cut. Cut." We used to sing a song back at the farm, "Cut away the flesh. If it's not productive, cut it away." And oh boy, I tell you, I felt stripped by the time I got down out of that tree. I looked at it and I said, "Dave, how can it possibly survive? You've cut all its limbs." And he said, "Wait till spring." Well, spring came, the blossoms came, the fruit started to set immediately, the leaves came out, and I'll tell you, we had apples that you could put your fist around. Beautiful fruit. And that was a lesson for me. He said, "Son, you got to cut what doesn't produce." And what we get caught in our daily lives, we let a TV show take precedence instead of getting into the Word. Guilty. We let somebody's slide little comment throw us off for the whole day. We let other little foxes come in and nibble on our vine, and it saps the strength. And we've got to learn to cut it off. That's our part. That's your part. That's my part. So let me go back here. Come on. Go back. It doesn't listen to me too well. And we're back in Mark 11. So I want to go over to verse 20. Because I love the way that, you know, when the Lord gives us something, he doesn't just leave us hanging. So here they are. The next morning, Mark says, they saw the fig tree withered away at its roots. And Peter remembered and said to the Lord, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, what you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive." Barrett, I want to stop there. That is so essential. If we ask the Lord for something in prayer, and we've got aught in our heart, I don't care who it's with. Get it right. Then come back and ask in faith. But I find forgiveness is probably the biggest stumbling block that keeps fruit from our tree. It just strips it. So whenever you stand praying, forgive, and if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. And then go back, I want to go back to the notes now that are provided in this study Bible. Matthew compares the event of these 2 days in a single narrative and does not specify that the disciples did not see the withered fig until the next day. And it goes on, the fig tree had withered within 24 hours, perhaps sooner. It represents the judgment of God on Israel. And Jesus' response must have surprised the disciples. What does faith have to do with the cursing of the fig tree? His point is that they should trust God to remove whatever hinders them from bearing fruit for God. That's your responsibility and mine. To remove anything that hinders. I just had my cataracts removed because it hindered my functioning at work and coming to prayer meetings and our connect groups in the evening. It was preventing me from being able to drive at night. That's just a simple example. I thank God for the medical profession that we can do that. But if there's something hindering us from performing that which God has called us to do, we've got to deal with it. We can't expect somebody else to do it. So remove that. Then moving a mountain was the metaphor for the Jewish literature for doing what was seemingly impossible. Those who believe in God can have confidence that he will accomplish even the impossible according to his sovereign will. God delights to give good things to those who ask him and is capable of granting any prayer, though we must ask with godly motives. James 4:3. And according to God's will, believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But they go on, the authors go on to explain, those who trust God for the right things in the right way can have confidence that God will supply every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, knowing that he will work all things together for good and will graciously give us all things. Romans 8:28-32. Some have misused this verse by telling people that if they pray for physical healing or some other specific request, if they just have enough faith, then they can have confidence that God has already done it or will do it. But we must always have the same perspective that Jesus had. There is the crux of the matter. You and I pray. We pray for God to touch and to heal and to deliver us. But if we don't come with his perspective, we're preventing him from fulfilling the prayer. So that's one of the little things that we've got to grasp, okay? That's something I've got to work on yet. And many, many do. Okay. Let's leave that and go over to John, and we're going to wrap it up. I find my go-to button here again. Come back to the... Yes, it likes to do that. Go to the beginning. Well, tell you what. No, I've got it written down in some notes. Let me have the other inside the pouch. I wrote this all out in something I had written up for our children and grandchildren. But it's reading from John chapter 15. I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burn. You abide in me, and my word abides in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And the Lord said, these things I have spoken to you, quote, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Just to give one example of our experience, and I'm going to sit down. At 42 years ago, come this Friday, or Saturday, Friday, I think it is, 42 years ago, we were expecting our son. We were living in a 16 by 19 log cabin with the center beam, and the cabin was right about here, and I have many bruises and loss of scalp to prove it. It had a sod roof and a potbelly stove in the middle of the floor. We called it Curtain City, as we had 9 people living inside that cabin. David and Susan Lynn, dear friends of ours, that we actually, it was because of them largely that we ended up coming to Canada. David was the head surgeon at Methodist Hospital in Philadelphia, former chief surgeon of the Allied Forces during the Korean conflict. So you appreciate the quality and experience that man had. But birthing babies wasn't one of them. But he and Susan arrived. Susan was a concert pianist. I remember watching her on TV when she won the Van Cliburn Award. Very accomplished musician. And they had just immigrated and arrived at the farm on February 4th. So I took Carolyn. I said, well, hon, I'm going to take you for a ride to the top of the mountain, which I did. We drove up to the top, and I said, I want you to be able to see beyond the valley that you've been in since August. And we came back, and sure enough, that night she went into labor. And after a long period of hard labor, very long, she was getting exhausted. And David would talk to Susan in Chinese and Mandarin, and they'd hassle back and forth, and I said, David, please, English. And he looked at me, he said, just keep praying. And I was interceding and sweating bullets. It was our third child, so it wasn't like something totally new. I'd been there for the birth of the previous 2 daughters. And the Lord gave me a vision. The first vision. A freighter is in the harbor under full steam, but he hasn't pulled anchor yet. I shared that with David. He muttered it again in Chinese to Susan. And he said, is God saying anything else? I kept praying. And it was a couple hours. I dare say a couple of hours, maybe longer, later. And I had one more vision. I said, David, it's very simple. I don't quite understand it. I said, it's a purple ring-neck pheasant. I said, I don't understand because pheasants don't have purple rings. They have white rings. He said, David, again, quick, gobbled in Chinese to Susan. He said, Carolyn, push hard. Baby's coming. He instantly, as soon as the head appeared, he ran his little finger down underneath, got the umbilical cord, clamped it twice and cut it, and unwound it from our son's neck. Beloved, I call that faithfulness. I call that faithfulness. Because without that, we wouldn't be celebrating my son's 42nd birthday at the end of this week. There is nothing that is impossible for God. The challenge is, am I allowing little foxes to take the life out of my vine? Are you allowing the little foxes to take the life out of your vine? If you are, cast them away. Give us, Lord, that grace to dig about this tree another year, that it might bring forth much fruit for His glory.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.